Good morning. His name is Leroy Chauvin. They call him Lee. He's a man in his 70s and he resides in Houma, Louisiana. Leroy is famous or infamous for his oysters. Either you love them or you hate them. They generally don't inspire indifference. I remember when I found this story, as kids, we went to some friend's house, and they had oysters on the half shell, and I was watching my dad eat them, you know, put the lemon and stuff, and then he would swallow them, and he goes, oh, it's so good. It never made it past there. So anyway, you either love them or you don't. But I'm told that oyster lovers, that the hazards of eating oysters, are they sometimes have sand and grit them, and they can taste stale and unfresh. I don't know how you would know, but Leroy's oysters are exceptional. They taste salty, fresh, and they're sand and grit free. Oyster lovers love his oysters, and part of the reason that they're so good is how he cleans them. He takes them out into the barrier island in the Gulf and rinses them all for hours upon hours. The result, a salty, fresh, sand, grit free oyster. That's what makes his oysters famous, but he is somewhat infamous. Leroy is an enterprising businessman, and he's always looking for ways to sell his product. His product is pure because his oysters are sand and grit-free. So to help market his oysters, he put up a sign outside his stand that said, Certified Kosher Oysters. Well, needless to say, oysters will never be kosher for a Jewish person. There's quite a process in getting something certified as kosher. Only a rabbi can do it, and then there's professional organizations that perform this function, and then you get the Circle K on your food. You've seen that. The reason we know about this is because a Jewish woman living in Louisiana saw his sign and took deep offense so much that the press was alerted. Leroy's mistake was one of simple ignorance. See, back in the 50s when he was an army cook, he had a friend who was Jewish. Leroy was a Catholic, and he asked his Jewish friend what kosher meant, and he said it meant pure. And that stuck with Leroy, and his oysters were pure, no sand, no grit, and he made them kosher. Well, a Catholic Cajun can't certify anything as kosher, so he took down his sign, but he's still selling his oysters, just not kosher oysters. Okay? So all of this made me wonder, because we're in that part of the chapter of Acts, does God have a problem with oysters? Some think it's illogical. Others think it's just puzzling. Other observant Jews still think it's sacred and binding. They can only eat kosher. What is that? So the food list of Leviticus chapter 11 is the chapter on food that is clean and unclean. And from our Gentile perspective, when we look at that list, we compare that list with our personal menu. I mean, I went over it this past week and looked at it, and none of my favorite foods are in there. And if they are, they're unclean. So something has to happen. We all love pork, ham, bacon, sausage. Oh, bacon, bacon. Tom cooks up 7 pounds of bacon every day. Not quite 7, 5. But they're on the forbidden list. Well, so is camel. And I'm not going to go out after lunch and have a camel sandwich. You know, that's not on my list. So all shellfish is on the list. Gosh, I love going to the buffet, all you can eat crab. Oh, even with lemon and butter, it's still considered unclean. Catfish is on there, and I know catfish is a staple for Southerners. And I'm told that there's people that love rabbit. I'm told it tastes like, well, you know. So God's instructions were quite clear on the food that was listed in Leviticus. And so let's kind of look at the list starting in verse 43. We'll just look at a few verses. Do not defile yourselves by any of these creatures. Do not make yourselves unclean by means of them or be made unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Do not make... isn't there more? 43 to 47?
No, that's more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. These are the regulations concerning animals, birds, and every living thing that moves about in the water and every creature that moves along the ground. You must distinguish between the unclean and the clean, between living creatures that may be eaten and those that may not be eaten. So if you want to do further study, go into Leviticus and just keep reading that, and it'll give you all kinds of names of animals and everything that are considered unclean. So why were these foods considered unclean? There's a lot of theories about this, but a lot of people believe that probably the number one reason, one idea, is that food items were unclean for reasons of health. Example, back then, pork could have trichinosis. Shellfish can have bacteria and viruses. Rabbits can have tularemia. The idea is that God made them unclean because they were dangerous. Many folks, especially some rabbis, still assert that this is true because it was an issue of health. And now we can disagree or agree on this. It's not going to really matter. So I'll go through this and you make up your own mind. One health for reasons of health is really not for all animals. There are a lot of clean animals that have health issues that aren't listed in that. Some of the diseases that aren't listed there are found in clean animals and not unclean animals. Nothing in the text addresses an issue of or concern about health. From our Christian perspective, didn't Jesus effectually declare all foods clean? Look what Mark said in Mark 7:19. For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Now, I'm not trying, if there are any rabbinical Jewish people here, I'm not trying to convert one way or the other. I'm just reporting what I found, okay? You can make up your own mind. I've known Christians that believe that they're Jewish and therefore they're going to observe the clean foods. That's fine. I don't think it affects your salvation, personally. Paul and Jesus in their days probably would have had pork around, and being Jews, they probably didn't eat it. But there's probably a better suggestion than of health. And that's one that's even supported by Jewish and rabbinical sources. God forbade animals that were odd. Oh, I was looking at those and it's like, I would not want that on my plate. Oh my gosh. Look at the one in the middle. Those... He looks like a creature from Gremlins or something after you fed him water or got him wet. And then the guy down on the bottom looks like Jimmy Durante fish. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, but there are animals that were considered odd, okay? Animals that didn't fit according to pattern. The best English translation that I found for kosher isn't pure, it's fit, F-I-T. So what's the idea of fit? Well, it comes from a biblical perspective. There are three classifications or categories of animals, and this is in Genesis, and it sort of alluded to it in Leviticus. Fish of the sea, birds of the air, and those that move along the ground. Those are the three classes of animals, okay? But when you look at that list in Leviticus 11, notice how many of the animals don't fit in that category or in that plan. Well, it says, then when you go through the list, and you have to kind of read it, so kind of stay with me on this. Fish have scales and fins, right? catfish and eels, they have fins but no scales. They have skin. So boom, they're on the unclean list. Okay? Shellfish have neither. Boom, they're on the list because they have no skin or scales. Animals that move along the ground using their legs to do so, but not snakes, boom, they're on the list. So don't go out and order rattlesnake because it's unclean. Animals with a cloven hoof that chew cud, but not pigs, boom. Animals, because pigs have that, but, you know, they're on the list. Camels chew cud, but they have toes, boom, they're on the list. And you can go on and on. So I encourage you to look at that list and just, you know, kind of decide what God was trying to go after, okay? Many of the birds are on the list are birds of prey because they often eat other animals' flesh. So they're on the list. That would make them unclean. And there's all of this through the idea of the Old Testament of normal and not normal, okay? And so in the Old Testament, let's read Leviticus 19:19. This should show you. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. And then look at Deuteronomy 22. And then we'll go back to that because I want people to see that. Do not plant two kinds of seed in your vineyard. If you do, not only the crops you plant, but also the fruit in your vineyard will be defiled. Do not wear clothes of wool and linen woven together. All right, so let's go back that one picture. See, and I believe that some scientists want to do this. They want to take a pig and a duck and put it together and, yeah, call a hockey puck or something. But, I mean, people, you know, God's got a reason for doing this. God has got a very specific reason for wanting to keep his race clean. That was the reason he did not want his people to intermarry with other people, because then the genes would be lost throughout generations. Okay? Y'all with me? Wouldn't that scare the daylights out of you if you had a herd of these? All right, so let's go to the next slide. That's one strange nanner. It's a Pomanana, or, you know, but God had a reason for making the laws of nature that he did. He didn't just haphazardly say, you know, I'm going to mess with you people. And you can't eat certain foods because I said so. And he's got a certain way of telling farmers how to plant their crops and when to do it. I mean, farmers know that there's a certain time that you're supposed to do it and you have to let your land rest and everything. Excuse me. And God gave instructions on all of that. But then we notice that in that last verse, could you put that last verse up there? Please, David. Do not wear clothes of wool and linen woven together. So if you're wearing a cotton poly blend today, you need to repent publicly. Uh-oh. We also read in Leviticus that someone who's born with a disability shouldn't be a priest. Ooh, ouch. That doesn't play well in our culture today. The infirmed were born. Certain people with diseases were unclean. People of certain nationalities, women at certain periods of time in their life were. So when we're talking about what was unclean, it wasn't just food. When we're talking about, it wasn't just food. It was crops. It was clothing. It was people. And that's kind of hard for us to digest this day and age, because the idea of people being unclean. People are a bit odd. People that don't fit our pattern, or people that don't fit a pattern. We probably all have stories of odd people that we've met. And don't be pointing at me. Of odd people that we've met in the past in our churches or other places. I read about a guy in a church who was a bit odd. He used to give everyone a huge hug and kiss him around the neck and greet him with a big, I love you, brother. And he had three cars. A green 76 VW Beetle, a green 76 VW Beetle, and a green 76 VW Beetle. Now, that's a little odd, okay? Now, sometimes these oddities are funny and sometimes they're not. How do we treat those whose race doesn't fit according to the pattern? And we've kind of talked about this with grace and on, and who do we accept when they come through the door? How do they look to us? They look a little bit different. They look a little odd to us, right? Come on, just being honest. You know, because if I were to walk, or anybody, except maybe, you know, I'm not going to point out people. If we were to walk into a really hardcore biker bar somewhere, right? And Giggles back here walked in, you know, said, "Hi, guys." You know, people have a tendency because of the way we look, the way we dress, how we present ourselves to make a determination of who we are right then, don't we? I mean, they do that. We do that. Unless we roll up our sleeves and put our cigarettes in there and show our ink or whatever, you know, we're going to be different than a lot of people that we meet. We do the same thing in a lot of churches. And like I said, I've read stories or I've heard people say that I went into a church dressed like this in jeans, and they said, "I'm sorry, you can't come in here without a tie and a coat." I would have slapped that guy. I'm sorry. You know, when you start 86ing people from church because of the way they're dressed, something's wrong. And so when we start differentiating between different races and people and, "Oh, you're way too short," or "You're way too tall," or whatever it is, you know, we're doing wrong. How do we treat people whose race don't fit? What about those with a past? Aren't you glad none of you have a past? Those with different cultures or backgrounds? People from India have different backgrounds. People from different countries don't celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving. And we look at them going, "What the heck's wrong with you? You don't give, come on, right?" Those who have odd backgrounds, those who have moral oddities. A lot of people don't have the same moral qualities we have. Whether ours are good or bad, some people have different morals. Some people dress differently than we do. How about alcohol? What do you think alcoholics say about churches? "Why would I want to go to that church? Because they're not going to accept me, right? They're going to look at me like you're just some lush. That's all you do is drink. Why would somebody with a problem want to go to a church?" Because we are so quick to condemn and chastise and point out the weaknesses of people that are different from us when we walk into a church. Right? I'm sorry. You know, let's be honest. We need to stop that kind of stuff. And you're right, it's not just in church, it's everywhere we go. It's at your job, it's at schools, it's in marketplaces, it's everywhere. People, when they see you, they automatically make up their mind there's something wrong with you because you have a beard, man. You know, look at all these bearded people. What is wrong with you people? Did your electricity stop in your house or what? Come on. Let's go to the other end. Look at all the people without beards. Where's your beard, man? Where's your beard, lady? we can take this. We can take this so far that we can offend everybody. Let's be the first church of really offending people. No, let's be the church that welcomes anybody. Anybody. I don't care. Like I said, when we first opened up the doors and we knew this was coming, we got an email from a certain party, and she said something about, "I know that you probably don't agree with my lifestyle, but my partner and I were wondering if we could come to your church, if we would be welcome there." We wrote her back. Said, you are more than welcome to come to our church. We are going to tell you, as along with everyone else, that we have to follow God, that we believe the Bible, we try to live by the Bible, and if God condemns something, we're going to agree with it. We're going to say everyone is a sinner, is in need of repentance, not just certain people with certain lifestyles. Well, needless to say, it never came, I don't think, but, you know, the invitation was there. You understand what I'm saying? So, all right, let's get to the text. Acts chapter 9, because this is the crux of the whole thing. We have to read the story of what happened to Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. The next day, so that was the day after the last time we talked. As they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, or 3 o'clock. He became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. That's what happens when you're hungry. And saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and the birds of the air. What did we just talk about? The different listed animals in Leviticus? All right, so here's all those animals, okay? And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Uh-uh, Lord, I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again that the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Or another version said, "What God has made clean, don't call unclean." Okay, so now, here's the sheet that's coming down, and it's got all of these animals on it. And it was not only, like I said, it was not only for Peter to see that all food was clean, because here he is, a staunch Jewish man whose whole idea was, be ye holy because I am holy. Don't touch anything unclean. And that was Peter's, that's what he lived by. That's what the Jewish people thought separated them from every other people on the earth. Because they would you like this ham sandwich? No, we don't eat kosher. We don't eat unkosher food, okay? So that was his whole thing. So here, God himself is showing him all of these animals and says, pick something to eat. Go kill it. Eat it. Make a sandwich. Make a tuna sandwich. Have some crab. Have some meatloaf. Have whatever. And Peter said, I can't do that. I've never done that. And God said, don't tell me that what I made clean, you're going to say is unclean. Arise and kill. Okay? So, let's see. So this list was sacred to Peter, and the idea is just as true today as it was in Peter's day. And what is that? This is the next point. Food is more than just food. Many times it's culture. Southerners, it's like I'm picking on Southerners and every time she looks up. I know. I'm not picking on you, I'm just pointing out your idiosyncrasies. You have many, so we're going to be here for quite a while. But they have a love affair with grits, right? I remember that story. I think I told it Wednesday that the pastor, they went and they'd never been to the South before, and they went to a restaurant and he ordered his breakfast, and then the waitress came and brought this, and he was looking at this white mush on the plate, and he goes, "What is this?" She goes, "Those are grits." He goes, "I didn't order them." She goes, "Well, down here, you don't order it, you don't pay for it, you just get it." That's what grace is, by the way. You don't order it, you don't deserve it, you just get it. And so grits to them, it's what being Southern is grits. And they said the only two people, or the two classes of people that don't eat that, are Yankees and sinners. And when they do, they eat it with syrup. That's wrong, you know. And it's like, no, I'm going to slap you, silly boy. You know, you don't eat grits that way. But it is culture. I mean, I don't know where these ladies are from, Indonesia or someplace, you know, or something like that. When you go there, you're not going to eat a quarter pounder with cheese.
Or grits.
They have a form of grits, but it comes from a yak, you know, or whatever. So for Peter and for the people like him, food was much more than food. And it wasn't really a far stretch for this to connect food to people. And that's what God was trying to tell Peter and all the people around him. Because remember, he's taken these people to a place they've never been before. They've been surrounded by Jewish people. Now all of a sudden God is starting his church and it's going to include some odd people called Gentiles. That's us. Yay! We're odd. Aren't you glad? And Peter's got to learn how to deal with us all. All y'all. Right? That I said that good, and I get a smile every time I say it from Suzanne. So the story is, all right, there was Cornelius. There was the Holy Spirit, and now we see what? That people are now kosher. People are clean. And how dare any of us, Jewish or non-Jewish, to tell other people that they are not clean in God's sight? Right? Uh-oh. There goes all our fun for the rest of the week. We can't make fun of John anymore. Well, John maybe. You know what I'm saying? God is revealing to everyone that the people that he made clean are now clean, and don't you dare call them unclean anymore. And because it's not just what we eat. And that's why the story of Jesus talking about what goes into a man's body does not defile him. Because food comes in, it goes out as waste. But what comes out is what's in the heart. What comes out is the mouth. That's what defiles us. That's what makes us stupid. Right? I had a stupid week last week. Oh, I thought you were raising your hand agreeing with me. Okay. But there's something very interesting about the story of Peter when he was there. It was the location where he was when he had his vision. Where was it? I'll tell you because you don't remember. In Joppa. Who else do you remember that got command from God in Joppa to go to some unclean people? Jonah. Jonah was in Joppa. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, to a bunch of unclean Gentile people, and I want you to convert them. And Jonah, I ain't going. And he tried to run away from God. See how these stories that we read about long ago really apply to us today? Because God says, I want you to love this guy with tattoos and nose piercings and that bone through his nose and whatever. And they're different. I want you to love them. Real? No. I got to go. My sock drawer needs tending to or something. You know, we come up with excuses why we don't want to do what God wants us to do, don't we? So what God is trying to show Peter and others is that God is building his church, and it is going to include a bunch of people that don't fit the category. Isn't it just like people? You know, I still love, the best thing about church is people. The worst thing about church is people. You know, so regardless of race or background or religion or sexual orientation, and it's not that we're going to condone any one of those. You know, if God speaks against it, we should, in love, try to bring people to God's side. That's our whole purpose, is to shine the light on people that are living in darkness. That's our mission, right? Jesus wants to do something more than just change menus. He changes the guest list too. Remember the story of Jesus? I love stories when they just come to mind and how it relates to what we're talking about. Remember when Jesus says the rich king was going to give a banquet and I want you to invite all the people? And all the people said, oh no, I'm too busy. I got things to do. I can't come and everything like that. And the king says, fine. I want you to go out in the alleyways. I want you to go in the slums. I want you to go in the dark, dreary, old, yucky places and invite everyone that you can see to come to the banquet. Guess who's that in that dark, dreary, yucky place? That's us, right? Aren't you glad that God has a banquet that we're all invited to? Man, you know, there are a lot of people out there that don't fit. And they know that they don't fit. And you know what? All too often we make them feel that they don't fit. And it's time to stop that. We need to find a way to make them feel that they fit. Tom mentioned it yesterday, and it's one of his favorite things, and I'm going to take it. Somebody said, why do you go to church? And he goes, I'm a sinner, and I need to go to church. Now, so how do you say that? Is that right? Yeah. Why do you go to church? I need church. This is where my Savior is. This is where I get comfort. This is where I get built up. This is where I get encouragement. This is where I get prayer. And is there anybody not like us out there? Yep. Then they need to come to this church or a church. Dr. Ben Craddock tells a story about when he and his wife were visiting Tennessee. They were eating at a private lunch when an old man came over to chat with him. He said that he tried to be polite and brief and even curt to get rid of this old guy. So when the guy asked Craddock what he did, he tried some intimidation. He says, I'm a professor of homiletics. Oh, you're a preacher. Well, I got a preacher story for you. And before you know it, the old man pulled up a chair and sat down at the table uninvited. When I was a boy, I was born illegitimate. And in that day, that was a bad scandal. People blame me for it. I'd be made fun of by other kids that I didn't know who my father was. People would often wonder and ask behind my back. The result is that I kept to myself and had nothing to do with anyone. One day, a new preacher came to town, and I heard that he was really good, so I decided to go hear him. But one Sunday, I got lost in his message. It just hooked me. I would go in regular and leave early because I didn't want to interact with other people. But one Sunday, it just hooked me, and before I knew it, the closing benediction was offered, and the aisles were full. I couldn't get out. Then I felt a hand on my shoulder, and it was that preacher. And he looked at me and asked, what's your name, son? Whose boy are you? And when he asked that, my heart sank, and I grew ashamed. But what he said to me next, I'll never forget. He said, I know whose son you are. You bear his likeness. You're God's son, aren't you? That was the first time anyone conveyed to me the sense of my worth or dignity. And those words changed my life. And with that, the old man left. When he left, the waitress came over to the table and asked Craddock if he knew who that man was that was visiting with him, and he said no. Well, that was Ben Hooper, the two-term governor of Tennessee, a man changed by this, given the sense of worth and value, for even though he was odd and didn't fit. What type of church do we want to be? Who should we welcome? Now, understand what I'm going to say. Maybe in Jesus Christ, oysters are kosher, so are catfish, ham sandwiches, sausage McMuffins, camel, grits, oh no. But so are sinners. Jesus has no folks that are too odd. We need to be on the lookout for those people that think that they're too odd, that they just don't fit, that there's no place for them. Our motto, one of the mottos of this church, is that there's always a place for you. And it's more than just a chair to sit down. There's always a place for you to come and get comfort and a place like refuge. And I'm not saying we're taking the place of God, but we can sure point you in the right direction. God is our refuge and our strong tower, a place that we can run into and feel safe. I want us to feel safe in this place. I want us to feel that we can come to anybody in this place and say, would you pray with me? I've got something going on in my life and I just don't know how to cope with it. Would you pray with me? What a great privilege to pray with someone and to let them know, you know what? We all just need to accept him and make him feel fit. So think about that. And I love the names. See, there's John. He fits. Way to go, Johnny. Oh, there's your brother, Roy. You fit too, man. Right in the middle of them, holding them together. Cherokee Blake. I want us to get ready to observe the Lord's Supper, and I think that it's appropriate today, especially today with the message, that this is not a matter of clean or unclean. Actually, it's really clean. This is observing what Jesus Christ did for us, that he just took some bread and a wine, and he says, this is my body. This is all about me. This is all about everything new. I mean, he was given to them something that they never really thought of, because they were in the old Jewish mindset that there was certain clean foods and certain unclean foods, and there was a list of things to do and not to do to make you holy before God. And so as he took the bread and broke it and passed it around, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And they're going, I don't understand this. But then afterwards, after they saw the resurrected Christ, then they understood all of that stuff. And we have the advantage of hindsight. 2020, we know what happened. And we saw everything that Jesus accomplished. That, and then it says, after he blessed it, he passed it around. And he said, the most astounding thing, this is my blood of the new covenant. Not the old covenant. Not the blood of sheep and goats. This is my blood that is being shed for you. This is the New Testament blood. This is the new covenant blood that is going to wash away all of our sins. And he said the same thing after he blessed it. And he said, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Father God, we thank you for what you have accomplished on our behalf. Father, that, I mean, it just, we can't comprehend the fullness of how you left heaven, that you left the place of glory and honor and a position to come become one of us, to come to earth to become one of us and take our place and die on a cross and bear our sin and nail it to a cross and suffer and die for us. And then they buried you, and in 3 days you were in a grave. But on that third day you rose again, victorious over the grave and sin and death and hell, and the enemy has been defeated. And because of that, and because of what we just celebrated and what it applies to us, Lord, that we are now righteous beings in the sight of God, that we have resurrection power, that we have the ability to have access to our living God. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Lord, and I didn't never intend for this to be that we can eat whatever without fear. I mean, if that's in somebody's mind, Lord, I pray that they would just follow their conscience, do what you would have them to do. But Lord, I want us to see that kosher is more than just food. It's everything about us. It's about people. And Lord, we need to see what you have made clean, we should not call unclean. So Father, help us as we go through this week. Lord, be our strength, be everything that we are lacking this week. Lord, help us to see you high and lifted up. I thank you for this time. I thank you for the people. I thank you that you are using them in great and mighty ways. And Father, we just bless you and we thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow, good stuff. Prayer meeting tonight, or this afternoon, 3 o'clock. We will be back here. We will be praying. So if you have a prayer request, even if you don't have a prayer request, just come and pray with us. You sure know somebody who needs prayer, right? We got the King family that needs prayer. See, she's already bugging his brother. Her what? If it's supposed to snow? No. We're hardy folk. It doesn't matter. Now, some of us city dwellers might have a trouble with an inch or two of snow, but those of us that have Jeeps and four-wheel drive, oh, we can go through. We were pushing snow over the top of our Subaru once, lady. You can't paint.
Temperature's too low to paint. You cannot paint.
Well, we'll put drop cloths in here and paint. See? And then we have trim that we can do. So don't try to weasel out of this, woman. Okay. Anything else? I would like to, if you don't mind, offer up a prayer on behalf of Jason's dad, who's taken a turn for the worse. A few months ago, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And I'm not sure. So, you know, if you want to tell what's wrong with your dad now, or I can just say he's not in good shape. I would like right now just for us to stand up and just pray for Jason's dad. Your dad's name is what?
Jack.
Great name. But I would just like to pray for Jack and the Swan family. Okay, Father God, we just come to you in an hour of need for a husband, a father, probably many more things that is nearing the end of his life. And Lord, we know that you can control our days. Lord, we do ask for a miracle for Jack. And if you choose to leave him here, Lord, we just praise you. We know that you can perform miracles and great healing. Lord, and if you choose not to, I pray that you would give him the grace and the comfort that he needs. I pray for Jason and Sonia and their family and everyone in their whole family, Lord, that you would just give them the strength to bear up under this. Lord, it's very natural to grieve for someone, but I pray that you would just give them that hope that lies within them, that one day soon that we will be reunited with our loved ones. Father, just do your great and mighty work in their lives and on behalf of them and for them, and all the praise would go back to you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Don't hesitate to call if we can, as a church, can do anything to help you guys, all right? Okay. So God bless.